Father, it's certainly nice to see all who are present with us this evening for the Gospel. And once again, we give you a very warm welcome. I'd like to take a short reading from the Old Testament, the prophecy of Isaiah, and chapter 38. And reading together verse number 1. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. That's all we shall read with the Lord's blessing. What a message for any man to receive. Many an individual has received a similar message from his doctor. But when a message comes from human lips, one might hope that the doctor would be wrong. But here we find that the prophet Isaiah brings a message to King Hezekiah, a message from God. Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Now, King Hezekiah had been one of the good kings of Judah. He had seen quite a measure of restoration and revival religiously in his day. He had opened the doors of the house of the Lord and encouraged the people to again worship the God of heaven, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, in the way that he had directed by his servant Moses. Not only had he been successful in this respect, but God had blessed him. And he did great exploits during his short reign. He rebuilt cities, and he saw the kingdom prosper in his hand. On one occasion, the greatest monarch in the then known world sent his armies against the city of Jerusalem. And in spite of the fact that the king of Assyria had been successful against every other nation and every other city, they were unable to take Jerusalem. Why? Because here was a man, he feared God, he trusted in God, he believed God, and God had delivered him. And now, a comparatively young man, probably 39 years of age, just a little past middle life, and he receives this message, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Hezekiah was brokenhearted. In his prayer in Psalm 102, he says, Take me not away in the midst of my years. Now, it's certainly sad for anyone to have to leave their home and to leave their family and to leave the world. But when a person gets a little older, one maybe doesn't feel it to the same extent. But for a young man, 39 years of age, to be cut off, it's not easy to take. And so Hezekiah, he wept sore, and God was pleased to give him 15 years. He gave him an additional 15 years. And Hezekiah, it says that he would go softly the remainder of his days. He was so appreciative of God's goodness and God's kindness in delivering him from death. My dear friend, this evening, I read of a man in Luke's Gospel in chapter 12, and he received a similar message, but he didn't get any reprieve. No extension, not even 1 year, not even 1 month. Not even 1 week. My Bible says, that night, God said to him, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." Now that dear man had been very successful in his sphere as well. God had blessed him. His ground brought forth plentifully. But he left God completely out of his life. He was planning for years ahead that he would never see. Oh, I wonder, dear friend, in the meeting tonight, if such a message were to come to you, what your reaction would be. You know, as this verse weighed heavily upon my heart during the early hours of this morning and throughout the day, I would love to have turned to other passages. I love to preach the gospel from those sweet gospel verses in the New Testament. But this verse has weighed so heavy upon my heart that I feel that there is a message from God for someone in this meeting. Oh, I wonder, dear friend, if the call comes to you. If this message is for you as for Hezekiah, a message from God. Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Let me ask you, dear friend, have you made any preparation for leaving this world? Have you made any preparation for eternity? Have you made any preparation for meeting God? If this were to be your last night, I wonder how it is with your soul. What a solemn thing to leave this world unprepared. What a solemn thing to go out into eternity without Christ and without God and without hope. As I look down upon this company this evening, let me remind you that we are all mortals. None of us here to stay, neither speaker nor hearer. My Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. The fact that we are young, and the fact that we are enjoying good health is no guarantee that we will see Christmas 1995. The fact that we are enjoying good health this evening is no guarantee that we will see another sunrise. I wonder if it might be possible, someone in the meeting hearing their last gospel message. Friend, I tell you, this solemnizes my heart. For the gospel platform is no place for lightness. Let me ask you this evening, are you ready to meet God? Do you know your sins forgiven? Have you the all-important question settled? I want everyone to allow the Word of God to search their heart this evening. Because these things are too solemn and too serious to trifle with. Friend, these are realities. So many people, you know, seem to live in a kind of a dream world and imagine, well, other people may die, but it won't come to me. Let me tell you, dear friend, death will come sooner or later to every one of us if the Lord Jesus Christ be not come. I wonder, my friend, are you ready to meet God this evening? Can you go back to a time in your experience when you turned in repentance from your sin and you received Christ as your Savior? Let me ask you, what are you depending on for eternity? Oh, so many people are depending upon the fact that they have been baptized as an infant. And they're depending on the fact that they have been confirmed in the church. And so many people that we would ask, are you saved? They will tell you, well, I hope to be in heaven. And they kind of live in a dream world, and they're not prepared to face up to realities. Oh, I do trust that each one in the company this evening will be prepared during this brief hour to face up to facts and realities, because life at best is very brief. like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf, be in time. The most important thing, so far as you and I are concerned, is to know that we are saved and sure of heaven when life's little journey is over. Ah, dear friend, we might be successful like that dear man was in Luke chapter 12. We might do well so far as this world is concerned, but what will it mean if we miss heaven? And if we find ourselves in that awful place of torment? Dear friend, let me tell you tonight, it's time you were saved. It's time you were saved. Daniel had a solemn message to bring to King Belshazzar, that great king of the Babylonish Empire. But it was a solemn message. God intervened that night, and over against the candlestick, the words were written, "Meni, meni, tekel, upharsin." God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. That night was Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans, slain. Belshazzar got no reprieve, just like the man in Luke chapter 12. Ah, my dear friend, let me remind you solemnly, you have God to meet and eternity to face. And we do not know just when the call will come. Now, if that were my message, it would be heavy tidings, wouldn't it? If that was all that I had to tell you, my friend, I would find it very hard to step down from the platform. But I want to tell you tonight that you can be saved. For God has provided salvation. And before you leave this meeting, you can know the all-important question settled. Oh, thank God for one who came from yonder throne of glory down to this world, the Christ of God, the Son of God. He came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. And the Lord Jesus Christ went all the way to Calvary's cross and there laid down His life and shed His precious blood, that guilty sinners such as you and I might be saved and in heaven eternally. And the gospel that the Apostle Paul preached to the Corinthians was that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And let me tell you, dear friend, He is able to save to the uttermost all who will come. And we're glad to tell you this evening that God is interested in your salvation, for God will have all men to be saved. God is interested in your eternal welfare and in your eternal blessing. He desires not that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Oh, let me tell you, my dear young friend, this evening, God loves you. And the Lord Jesus Christ died that you might be in heaven. And there by His death and the shedding of His precious blood, He provided salvation and laid a righteous basis whereby a holy God could justify a guilty sinner. And we can say with the poet this evening, there's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that is open and all may go in. At Calvary's cross is where you begin when you come as a sinner to Jesus. Oh, what lovely words John leaves for us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I love that verse, dear friend, because it was through that verse that I came to know Christ as my Savior. Realizing that God so loved the world, He so loved me, that He gave His only begotten Son. He gave Him to the shame and to the suffering and to the death of Calvary, that you and I might be in heaven eternally. And we are pleased to be able to proclaim that salvation is free. It's offered without money and without price. For John tells us, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. While hundreds and thousands, and millions indeed in the world tonight, are vainly seeking to obtain salvation and the forgiveness of sins through their efforts and through their church going and seeking to gain a place in yonder glory through their own works. I want to tell you, my friend, that it is not of works, lest any man should boast. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Ephesians, tells us, by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. My friend, the way of salvation is simple, it's clear, it's plain. You say, tell me, how can I obtain it? If salvation has been provided, and God desires that I should have it, how can I obtain it? Well, the message that the apostles preached was repentance toward God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. And although many centuries have rolled their course, the message is still the same. We have been singing together, 'tis old, yet ever new. My dear friend, if you are willing this evening to repent of your sin and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can know your sins forgiven and have the assurance of everlasting life. God's promises never fail. God cannot lie. Let me tell you, dear friend, what we seek to preach and the message that we proclaim is based upon the Word of God. It's not our own ideas we're preaching. It's not the ideas of the brethren that we're proclaiming. No, no. What we are seeking to tell you this evening is the truth of God, the Word of God, the Gospel of God. Oh, how wonderful to think it's of God. It's not of man. You know, it was God who Himself planned. He planned the great work of redemption, and He gave His Son, His only Son, and whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. What was the message that Paul and Silas gave to that anxious, awakened soul yonder in the city of Philippi when he cried, what must I do to be saved? Oh, I trust that that is the cry of some heart in this building this evening. While you sit here in the quietness of this meeting, down deep in your heart, I do trust there is that desire, and there is that longing, and there is that yearning to be right with God. And you are just saying in the language of the jailer, what must I do to be saved? Listen to the reply of these dear men of God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. How simple God's way of salvation. Not doing or trying one's best, but simply believing on Jesus, the weary and sinful find rest. Tell me, what would keep you from Christ tonight? Salvation is clear and plain and simple, so that a wayfaring man, though a fool, need not err therein. You cannot say that it's too complicated. Young friend in this evening, tell me, is there something that you are putting before your soul's salvation? Maybe an ungodly companion. Maybe some ambition. Maybe some big night that you've planned and you say, well, once that's over, I'll go in for God's salvation. Oh, could I implore of you this evening, cast everything else to the one side. Your soul is of more value than all the world. My blessed Lord said, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Is there one who's prepared to say with the hymn writer, my old companions fare you well. I will not go with you to hell. I mean, with Jesus Christ to dwell. I will go. Friend, let me remind you, the choice is yours. God has given His Son. The Christ of God has died to provide salvation. He completed the work. And salvation is offered freely. Eternal life is offered as a free gift. The gift of God is eternal life. The choice is yours. But before I step down, let me remind you that your eternal destiny will be determined by your attitude to the Christ of God. Friend, you cannot afford to neglect it. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You cannot afford to neglect it. My dear friend, this is all important. Why not trust Christ tonight? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.